This podcast is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network, and it's also proud to be from Texas. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Ready or not, here I come. You can't hide. Gonna find you and make me Mr. Sunshine, Mr. Golden Sun. Please shine down on me. The old MacDonald had a farm. E-I-E-I-O. Joy with me and count to 10. I am a 10. I like my father, pick one. This is the 2ET, 2ET podcast. Daddy, Dave, and Steve are awesome. Flapjack,
scissors. Fun was because I was in.
Yeah. No, you're good.
I think I'm done.
What's that?
I think I'm done.
All right. Just so you know, I already hit record.
Okay.
That's just typical. Like, if me and Mike recorded, I guess this was that Sunday? It was either Sunday or Saturday. It was one of the S days, the awesome days where you don't have to go to work.
Yeah.
And we sat in there recording. I think we're like 56 minutes in. And he's like, oh, hey, we never did a blast of the intro. We finally remembered to do the intro like 56 minutes in. So I had to move the awesome Death Star timer in here. He actually, like, if one of it goes off, it shoots out the little laser and stuff.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's that way I remember to do a intro. But since I'm thinking of it real fast, hey, everybody, welcome to 2BT. I'm David.
I'm Adam.
Hey, yeah. Look at that. Got that one in early at 1 minute and 17 seconds, just about. Yeah. But anyways, Adam was saying Adam just got back from Austin. The fancy town of Austin,
yeah,
Texas.
It's like the California of Texas.
It really is.
So I'm wearing my
Franklin
shirt.
I saw your Franklin's barbecue shirt there. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's a badge of honor, man.
That you stood in line for how long for?
Four hours.
4 hours, man. I love barbecue. Like, I love barbecue. I don't know if I love barbecue enough to stand in line for 4 hours. And the Texas heat, man, might I add, too, because that's that's even further south than what we are. That's considered central Texas.
Well, we were fortunate because the heat wave didn't hit, so it was only like 95 degrees.
Oh, geez, yeah.
Instead of 105.
Was there any, like, shaded areas for you to wait in and stuff like that? Or
Yes and no.
Okay, I was about to say, because you don't look like you're really overly sunburned or whatever. But
well, that's because I wear SPF 100.
Yeah.
Because I have to like slather that.
Oh,
on.
I know it.
I mean, you can sort of see where my watch line is at.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, see that.
I'm a little red. That's all I do. I just turn red. And it's about an hour into the sun, and then I'm pretty much done.
Yeah.
So, with the Franklin's waiting, so what this is, if you guys aren't familiar with it, Franklin's is a world famous barbecue place.
Yes.
Yeah. When you look at like places like Memphis, Texas, Franklin's is the Texas.
Whenever I think of barbecue, I think of Memphis, I think of Kansas City, and I think of North Carolina. Those three places are the places that I think of whenever I think of barbecue.
And we were in line with a dude who's like one of those foodies who will travel to different areas and have barbecue at the best barbecue place that they have there.
Awesome.
So in Texas, generally people think of Franklin's for
that. Yeah. Franklin's in the Salt Lake, from what I always understand.
Yeah. And so with Franklin's, the thing is that they open up at 11 a.m., but because there's such a high demand for Franklin's barbecue, you have to get in line about 4 hours before you're going to go eat.
That's crazy.
So the dude who was first in line in our session, he got there at 4 a.m.
Good God.
To be first in line at Franklin's. So we got there at about 8:45.
Yeah.
And probably within the next hour, they were, like, turning people away.
Oh, wow.
So, and we weren't by any means close to the front. We were more towards the back.
Yeah.
And so what they do is when the line's formed up, they have a crew of people come out and take, like, an estimated order, what your estimated order is going to be.
Yeah.
So they were talking to us, and we're like, well, of course I want ribs.
Well, yeah.
And they're like, well, just to let you guys know, we're probably going to run out of ribs about 20 people before you.
Oh, damn it.
Yeah. So they're like, you know, you can request them. We can see if we have any more, but we don't know if we're going to have any more.
Yeah.
So we, you know, we're waiting in line and we're talking with people and it's a social thing.
Yeah.
But it's in the heat, it's, for me, it's miserable.
Oh, God,
my,
yeah.
My wife is okay with doing this. She's 10 years younger than I am. She's got the, she's still got the little spry spark in her eye.
The virility.
Yeah. Well, after you hit that, like, 35 threshold, you're just like, screw it. I'm not doing, it's not, there's nothing worth this anymore.
Well, to me, the Texas heat just saps out of anybody.
Well,
like,
it does.
Heat,
and it
period.
Did, and
I won't
it did
say
with
it's
us,
Texas heat, but
it
like,
did with me, too.
Yeah.
Like, about, like I said, I'm a good about an hour in the heat, and then I'm just done.
Yeah.
You know, but we brought lawn chairs. We're sitting, talking with people, trying to stay hydrated. That's that's one thing that's good about waiting in line is that at any point in time, you can go in and get some nice filtered ice water.
Oh, cool. Can you buy beer while you're waiting in line?
You don't buy beer. You go and bring your beer.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it's a BYOB line. So
that's
at
very nice,
you know, 8 o'clock, 8:45 in the morning, there's people with just hanging out, drinking a beer.
Yeah.
It's like, wow. Okay. All right. If that's if that,
that's dedication.
That's yeah.
Not only are you dedicated to barbecue, you're dedicated to getting your beer consumption in, drinking a beer at 8:45. I mean, I'm not saying I haven't done it before. I've obviously done it before, but like, good Lord, that's a hell of a way to wake up.
Usually when I see that, I'm like, that's a problem.
Yeah. This is called hair of the dog. Is what
yeah, that's what I'm thinking. So yeah, we went in, we got brisket. We did get ribs.
Yeah.
The potato salad was really good too. So ribs, potato salad, turkey.
Zucchini sausage.
We did get sausage.
Heck yeah.
The sausage was good too. And so the thing is like with that barbecue, it's good enough that you can eat the barbecue without putting sauce on. I like barbecue sauce. That to me is part of the
thing. How do
you
like your barbecue sauce?
Man, it just depends on the barbecue.
Yeah.
That's the honest answer with that is like, you can get, I like a little bit of sweet barbecue.
Yeah.
I like a little bit of sweetness with stuff. And what I've been trying to tell everybody, and I think I told you this in the text, was like, it's savory. There's almost no sweet to this whatsoever.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So it's a unique, there is a uniqueness to this barbecue.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's worth
in it or
4 hours.
Like that, right?
Well, the barbecue sauce, they have several different sauces. And I guess the one that's real popular is their espresso barbecue sauce.
Yeah.
And it works with their barbecue. Like you get different tones of flavor depending on what you like. So my wife, for example, gets lean brisket.
Sorry, okay. That look that I just gave Adam just didn't totally. Translate because
we both have that same look. Listen to the way I say it.
Yeah,
lean brisket.
Yeah, how is that even possible? How do you get lean brisket?
Well, you have when you get that cut of brisket, you have like
the fat is what's good about it, though,
right? Well.
Like, I always tell everybody, my favorite part is the burn-ins, man. I see them chopping that crap off whenever you're, like, ordering barbecue, and I'm like, no, leave that on there.
Yeah,
like,
I want the burn-ins. Give me that.
Yeah.
And well, what they'll do is they'll take a slab of brisket and they'll chop it up.
Yeah.
But you get a variety of the different type of brisket. So you get, like, there can be, in my opinion, too much fat in your brisket.
Oh, yeah.
And that's when it's just like... Now, it's great because it just melts away.
Yeah.
You just put it in your mouth and it just liquefies.
Well, yeah. And the whole point of that is like, you know, a lot of the times, well, I won't say a lot of times. Sometimes it depends on like, of course, like I'm into barbecue. My family smokes briskets and blah, 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 blah. And the whole thing is like, you know, like there can be too much fat. And so a lot of times you'll trim that off beforehand because like if you try to trim it off afterwards, I mean, you want some fat on there because a lot of times what they'll do is they'll smoke it with the fat side up. So that way the fat drains actually through the meat.
Well, and you need a good marbled meat.
Yeah.
That's something that I still haven't taught my wife yet. She doesn't understand that portion at all. Like, otherwise you're eating leather.
Yeah. If you want a steak that doesn't have any fat in it, then you're going to have an awful tough steak because it's going to be nothing but the muscle tissue.
Well, yeah. And you need the fat is where the flavor absorbs into and distributes out of in the meat. And she doesn't quite have that yet. She doesn't understand. But... She tried some like fatty, you know, like, so like I said, that slab has got a variety. So you got like the fat and then that cut gets into the lean.
Okay.
So you have that variety of meat.
I know as you get down to one part of the brisket, it'll be like usually pretty lean and not as much fat, but still, I mean, it's still got a lot of fat running through
still
the brisket too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But,
that's why I was going about with the, like, the, what the hell, a lean brisket? Like, that doesn't make any sense. You might as well eat freaking turkey if that's the case.
You're
like,
you're just eating ostrich at that point in time.
So
they gave us that variety, and so when you try the different barbecue sauces, now the first thing I did was hit the ribs, of course.
Yeah.
And so I ate one entire rib without any sauce on it, just their rub, their dry rub that they put on it. And it was really good on its own. And then I started trying the different stuff. And then I tried it with did the same thing with every single meat that I had. I did dry and then threw the different sauce.
Then threw some sauce on there, yeah.
Because, I mean, at that point in time, when you're paying that much money for barbecue and when you're going to sit in line for that much long for barbecue, then you better try it in every single possible combination that you can possibly do it in. So that's what I was doing. And so with the brisket, what was really interesting was that barbecue sauce that has the espresso in it, from fatty to lean, it has different tones that pick up because of the meat variation.
Yeah.
Because of the fat variation in it. So if you're going for like a normal good piece of brisket, it's just it's a little bit vinegary to cut through the fat a little bit, but it still like enhances the flavor, which is great.
So is it kind of like a runny? Is it like, because you know you have the super thick barbecue sauces and you have the runny?
This is the thinner runny.
So it's like a vinegar base.
It's more vinegar based. Yeah, it's not so much the molasses.
Yeah.
Or you know like
brown sugar,
brown sugar
like
and stuff.
Yeah.
And so, but what was interesting is when you get to the lean version of the brisket, then you start tasting the coffee.
Oh, okay.
So it gives you this wide variety.
Yeah,
it's really cool.
That's pretty neat. Yeah, man. Like I said, I'm a barbecue connoisseur. I love it. I've been to, you know, I haven't been to the Salt Lake down there around Austin, but I've been to Southside Market, which I mentioned that to you. And the only thing I've ever had there at Southside Market is their smoked sausage, and even like just getting there, just regular, like it's, you know. You can get it smoked or you can get it like unsmoked where it's still raw and you have to take it home and cook it yourself. And even it unsmoked is amazing. Holy God. Like, I just love, I'll tell you right now, I love barbecue. Like, you give me a smoked turkey on Thanksgiving, you give me brisket or, you know, you give me a smoked turkey on Thanksgiving, I'm happier than a pig and crap, man, because like I'm telling you right now, like there's nothing much better. Everybody tells me to fry a turkey and I'm like, yeah, no.
Fried's okay.
Yeah.
But smoked is better.
I'm not really a big fan of turkey to begin with, but you give me a smoked turkey and it's pretty blessed and amazing.
Yeah.
But like, you know, ham. Oh my God. I love any pork product. Like I you would think I'm from North Carolina because I like whenever it comes from me with barbecue, I'd much rather have pork
than beef.
Than beef any day.
Give me pork ribs over beef ribs.
Yeah. My brisket, I'm not a big fan of like the big long brisket planks. I want that stuff chopped up and like a chopped brisket style or whatever, you know, mixed with the sauce or whatever. But you know, I'm right there with you. The way you always judge a barbecue is by how well it tastes without any sort of sauce on it whatsoever. And that's with anything, whether it being ribs or, you know, a brisket or the freaking pulled pork or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, and there is a crime that you can commit in all of this, and that's having a dry barbecue.
Yeah.
So you got to be careful with what you're doing.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, no. And that's like, I will say there's not many places I've been to, and this is okay. Let me just go ahead and get this out of the way real quick. Cause me and Michael were talking about this. Cause I told him about you going to Franklin's or whatever. And he was like, oh, awesome. Blah, blah, blah. And, he was telling me about a barbecue place that they hit, coming home from Fort Worth. Everybody told him that it was really, really good and all like this. And then he started telling me about like the things that they just didn't have. Okay. So before I get into this, I'm going to ask you, whenever you go to a barbecue joint, we'll just say a barbecue joint in Texas because I've never been to one outside of the Texas, but like whenever you go to a barbecue joint in Texas, what are some of the staples that you have that are just like, here, this is included with the meal. There's no extra charge for this, like the condiments, sides, whatever.
Oh man. I would assume potato salad.
Yeah. Okay. Potato salad.
Barbecue baked beans.
Yeah.
Even macaroni salad.
Yeah.
Coleslaw, depending on the place.
Yeah.
Corn.
Yeah. Well, I'm talking about like your basics. For me, it's this. Like, you pay for your barbecue, and you know, you might get charged for the sides, but I'm talking about not like
you're
the corn.
You're talking about like condiment, you're talking about like barbecue sauces. And
barbecue
stuff like
sauces and all like that other stuff that might be off to the side somewhere, like onions and pickles and like the little cherry peppers and all like that. Like to me, like I can't have barbecue without pickles. I don't know what it is, man. Like it's like,
well, you need the vinegar. My, I like it. I like from this point of view.
Yeah.
Because you're probably like me. You've had a lot of sweet barbecues.
Oh yeah.
So you got to have a pickle.
I'm not a fan of sweet barbecue either, man. Like I like my barbecue. I'm an equal sides. Like I want it a little bit of sweet and a little bit of spicy.
Yeah. That's now, the ideal. That's yeah. the ideal.
But. I want more spice than what I want sweet, but I want to be able to taste the sweetness of it also.
Yeah.
But so
I think with the fat and everything that's involved with barbecue, because it's such an important component to it.
Oh God, yeah.
You eat your barbecue, and then you have a pickle, and that vinegar just cuts through the fat.
Cuts. Oh yeah,
and then you get back to eating your.
And it gives you the sweet eating. And salty also type yeah. thing. So, yeah.
So yeah, I get that.
Oh yeah, no man. Like I said, I'm a huge connoisseur of barbecue, and it's just like man. Like I said, I don't know if I'd go stand 4 hours in the heat. Well, no, if it was like springtime, or maybe the fall, whenever it's maybe like 85 degrees outside, it's pretty decent. It's not going to like burn into flame, you know, burst into flames while waiting for a couple of hours. Then, yeah, I will do.
You're not going to get a sunburn from the street.
Yeah, exactly. It's like you're cooking cookies on the sidewalk waiting for the barbecue joint to open up.
Well, there were some interesting things there. Everybody who was in line understood what they were waiting for.
Yeah.
So it was more, it was almost like, think of it as waiting in line for a ride at Six Flags.
Oh, okay.
So it's kind of that kind of mentality.
Just a line that just doesn't freaking move, though, and you're just like, you sons of bitches, move this
well,
thing.
Well, no, you just know you're going to be there for
oh, okay, yeah.
But they had bathrooms provided. They had the bathrooms inside, which were immaculately clean considering how many people were going in and out of those bathrooms.
Which yeah.
absolutely clean. And then they also had
Bucky's
two.
Bucky's clean?
I've never been to a Bucky's, so I don't
serious?
Know. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Is that supposed
man.
To be like they have clean bathrooms?
They do have really clean bathrooms. I will say that for what's basically a truck stop, a giant truck stop, by the way. They have amazingly clean bathrooms and really awesome food. Like, I'm not kidding. The barbecue's not any good, though. But, like, don't let anybody tell you.
I've heard, yeah.
Dude, they have a beef jerky counter that's like a deli, but it's just for beef jerky.
Well, we're getting one, so right. I'll have to go. We'll have to make a trip out.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we got a couple of trips that are
going to be doing. Yeah, 2BT to Bucky's or something like that.
Yeah, there you go. We'll take the cameras.
Everything. Yeah. We'll bring the microphones.
What was I going to say?
Oh, I sidetracked you. Talking
that's,
about Bucky's.
That's okay.
Bathrooms. Oh, you were talking about
the bathrooms were clean. They had two Porter Johns out there. They had a coffee, like a little barista coffee van that was out there.
Yeah.
I mean, for waiting in line, you could do a lot worse.
Yeah.
It's still waiting in line.
But, right.
But you have, you know, you're just being friendly with people. It was funny because there were maybe I would say about half a dozen people that came up while once the place had opened up and they were starting to usher people in.
Yeah.
There's still a line that goes out the place while people are just sitting at the restaurant and eating.
Oh, wow. So whenever you're sitting and eating, is it inside or is it outside?
It's inside. They do have an outside patio, but nobody was using it.
Oh, God, no. It's anytime whenever the month starts with a J or an A or an S.
Right.
there's not going to be a whole lot of outside eating at that point in time.
Yeah, once there's a month, yeah.
Yeah.
But so there's a couple people that were walking from the street and they were like trying to get in the door and people are like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And they're like, well, we want to get in. And they're like, look, the line's back there. And they're like, and just to give you a heads up, there's already been 20 people who've walked away because they haven't been guaranteed food. You're not just walking in here getting food.
Yeah.
Everybody in line, we've been jovial. We've been nice. We've been good. But up until the point, till some.
Some jack
wagon comes walking up like, I'm going to get some barbecue today. You're not getting this because you didn't wait in line like the rest of us. So,
well, the story is they turned away Jay-Z and Beyonce.
Oh, really?
They tried to jump line and they said, nuh-uh, sorry, you got to wait in line with all the other scrubs. And I don't know how true that is. Now, that's hearsay. I don't know that for sure. But from what I understand is they turned away Jay-Z and Beyonce when they tried to go to Franklin's and get some barbecue. They thought they could just use their star power and walk right up, and they got turned away. But I don't know. Like I said, I don't know
how. They can hire somebody to wait in line.
Right? That's what I was thinking. I was like, I still wanted to text you whenever you told me that you're waiting in line at Franklin's barbecue. And I'm going to be like, dude, what you should do is just like have your wife stand there and be like, honey, I'm going to go to the comic book store or whatever. Because Austin has a really good couple of really good comic book stores, man.
Well, we didn't get to hit the comic book stores, but we did. We're going to draw this into video games.
Yeah, there we go.
Because we got it's to.
Coming in.
So we went to pinballs.
Yeah.
There's a couple places that I wanted to go, but we only had time to do so much.
Yeah.
So we picked pinballs because that seemed like a place that would be fun to go to. So we were going to go to Blazer Tag.
Hold on. Just
yeah.
Sal! Hush! See if she'll quit now. Of course, yeah, she's always going to bark at least once right afterwards to be like the little revolutionary or whatever.
I get the last word no matter what
like,
happens.
I totally pictured it with like a Che Guevara. Like, anyways, I don't know. Like, anywho, sorry. Y'all went to pinballs. There we go.
We went to pinballs.
Yeah.
And did I show you that picture?
I saw it on Facebook, the one of your wife standing next to the Hercules.
Hercules pinball. I enjoy pinball, but I only have a few pinball machines that I'm actually kind of, like, familiar with.
Yeah.
One that you can find that's pretty common that's been around for a long time is, like, there's, like, Pinbot, which is, like, one of my favorites, and then there's, like, FemPinbot. There's, like, a female version of it, and I play that one.
Yeah.
Just because I like that cabinet, or that table. But anyway, I was walking around. We do, like, a walk-around tour first before we start playing anything. And I see this huge pinball machine. Now, your arms have to be spread out to play this thing.
Really?
Yeah. And it doesn't use pinballs. It uses a cue ball from
good grief, man. That's
crazy. Billiards, dude.
Yeah.
And then the flippers themselves are probably a good 7-8 inches.
Good Lord.
The table sucks. It's not a good pinball game, but you at least play. You're like, I got to play the big giant pinball.
Well, yeah, it's the
novelty at least.
Exactly. That's a good word you say. That's what I was looking for. The novelty of playing on a giant pinball machine, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, everything on it was big. The buttons were not your regular arcade buttons. There were these big flappy, like flat buttons on.
Oh, really?
Sides. Yeah. I mean, it was interesting. It was an interesting experience to go through that and play that.
Yeah.
So pinballs it's primarily a pinball arcade, but they do have other arcade games there.
Okay.
Now, I'm like, you're a barbecue snob. I'm kind of an arcade snob.
Well, yeah. I kind of figured as much.
Yeah. I have some little, a Yelp reviewer kind of thing. man, most of their, like, it was a fun place.
Yeah.
It was more adult oriented. That's another BYOB kind of place.
Oh,
where
cool.
You could go and bring your own stuff. Cause we were hoping we could go to a place like Free Play.
Yeah.
or, you know, some other barcade where you could get a drink, get your arcades in, have fun that way.
Yeah.
That's the most fun I've had is going to a barcade, buying drinks, and just going and playing arcade games.
Oh, yeah.
So this whole, like, bring your own beer thing is weird to me.
Yeah, that is kind of strange, especially if that's kind of like what you're catering to, because other than that, you're just running an arcade, and there's, you know, reasons why those things have been shutting down, you know.
Yeah, so there's that aspect of it. The other thing is that the arcades were generally pretty expensive.
Yeah,
most games were running about 50 to 75 cents.
Oh wow.
75 cents to play Star Wars.
Oh yeah. No, so your two games, you're at $1.50.
Yeah.
You know, four games. Yeah. No.
Yeah. So they were overpriced and their machines weren't maintained.
Oh.
So speaking of Star Wars, because you got to, I mean.
Because I'll tell you right now, that's the game I always gravitate to.
That's
whether
the first,
it be arcade,
I mean,
or pinball or whatever. That's what I'm going to play first is Star Wars.
That's in my like top five. Yeah. As soon as you walk into an arcade, that's like your top five, at least my top five. If I walk into an arcade and I see a set of machines, Star Wars is one that you have to play.
Yeah.
And having one the problem with this one was that the draw lines were weird around the edges of the screen. So your TIE fighters, as they were flying in, were stretched for about a good 3 inches before they like snapped into like TIE fighter formation and then you could shoot them. So it was like a little obnoxious, especially as expensive as it was.
Yeah.
And no Dig Dug.
What?
Yeah. No Dig Dug.
What type of communists are they?
I wanted to get some Dig Dug practice in because I'm trying to get a Dig Dug high score over at the museum.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So I'm trying to get some. I don't know if I'd made this. I haven't told everybody, but
yeah.
Like I went to the National Video Game Museum on a Dallas Retro Gamers group, we get to go in for free. The dude who like runs the museum, he's part of the group, so we get to go in for free.
Oh, that's awesome.
We get to go, we go in the last 2 hours that it's open, but then we get like another 2 hours of it when it's just cleared out of the normies.
Heck yeah.
So the rest of us can just go hang out and go play whatever.
Just go hang out at the arcade.
I had that arcade to myself for probably a good 10-20 minutes.
yeah.
And it was sweet.
Yeah.
And then I was playing Dig Dug and I got the high score for the day and I was like, oh, I think I could probably, and they have a scoreboard. So if you've never been to the National Video Game Museum, they, for anybody who's get a high score in the museum, there's a scoreboard with your name and your score.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
You get like $5 in free tokens. I don't care about the tokens. I want my name on the board.
Yeah, right.
So it's been
recognition.
Yeah.
you put in your initials as ASS.
No, my initials are American Sign Language. So, but yeah, I got the day's high score after thinking about it. It's like, this has been open all day.
Yeah.
On a Saturday. So there's been tons of people through this arcade, and I still get the high score for the day. Okay, I could probably do this. I could probably go in. I think it's like a million and some change as far as the points are concerned for the high score.
Yeah.
So I started training. Training means watching videos of Japanese dudes playing this game way better than any American could ever play it.
Yeah.
But like learning their patterns and getting
their
the system
nimble
down.
Fingers.
Yeah. I don't know what it is, but they concentrate with. I don't know if I should say that.
Nope.
Online.
No. Yeah, you know.
It's going to get me in trouble.
Yeah, right. These views are not shared by the team. I don't know.
But anyway, I've been watching videos and kind of starting to practice, which is interesting because there's certain rules that go along with the game and there's a certain way to play it. There's sort of a meta way to play Dig Dug. You can just go through and blow up the enemies and have fun and blast through the levels. But there's the whole goal is to actually get those creatures up under a rock and then drop a rock.
That's where
you get your big points from.
I got you.
And for every two rocks that you drop on a round, you get the vegetable. And like you always want to get the vegetable if you can, but the first couple of rounds don't matter.
Yeah.
So you can get those, but they're like 200, 300 points, something like that. But when you start getting around 4 and 5, you're looking at 1,000, 2,000 points. That's one rock drop on one enemy. But we get later on in the game, you get like 6,000 points or 7 or 8,000 points.
Oh, wow.
So you need to really like start planning out what your path is going to be and how to take it.
Yeah. So there's actually a strategy to it.
Yeah, there's a strategy. It sounds really weird. It sounds because like people think of Dig Dug, it's just the dude with the bicycle pump blowing up, you know, pukas. Yeah, that's generally what the game is. But if you're wanting to get high scores, and that's the other thing is you could blast through 20 rounds and not even match the high score for somebody who played maybe 5 rounds.
Oh, wow.
And like played by dropping rocks. But it's a lot harder to play the game like that.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm trying to do is to try to go for that.
So is there any difference with the difficulty level between like the playing on the Atari 2600 and the actual arcade machine?
Yes.
I kind of figured there was, because I always remembered games always on the arcade seemed a little bit harder than what they were like on the Atari or whatever.
So, yeah, the arcade, because I have the Atari version, of course. Dig Dug's one of my favorite games.
Yeah.
So I need to establish that. I have Dig Dug for Atari. I've got a couple of versions of it on PlayStation 2. I had it for the 7800 when I was a kid. I even have, it didn't come out for the US Nintendo, but it came out for the Japanese Famicom. I actually have that version.
Oh, wow.
So I have like several different versions of the game.
Yeah.
And that's been part of the hard part is finding a decent I even have a version of it that I bought on Steam just so I could have like different versions to play.
Yeah.
So I could get used to the different scenarios that might pop up. That's how crazy I am.
Right? Like, this training is not fun. This is actual training.
Yeah, no, it is. You're like, well, I have to buy shoes. You know, you're like, it's like, you're training. You are training. It sounds weird, and I need to get back into it because I've been playing Bloodstained. So I think I'm done with Bloodstained. I might try to do a couple more live streams of that, but highly recommended game too.
Yeah, I think you told me about that one.
I've been telling everybody about it. Yeah. So
now is that like what are you playing that on? Is it like just on your PC or whatever?
The game is out for just about everything.
So, oh, okay.
PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Steam. I have it on my 3DS and I have it on Steam.
Oh, okay.
And so I've been playing it on both of those. I'll do a live stream on Steam. But I primarily play most of it on my 3DS.
Okay.
But if you're not familiar with that game, you don't know what it is. Bloodstained was a game that... So Konami, who did the Castlevania series, has been messing things up for a long time. Haven't been putting out Castlevania games. They haven't really been doing anything with it. The guy who got on when they did Symphony of the Night, you know, he was with them for, I don't know, like 20 years or something like that. He eventually like left because they were making him do like mobile games and... pachinko machines or
oh
something.
Wow, yeah,
so he just got fed up with it. He left, and then people were like, hey, you want to make a Castlevania game? He's like, well, I don't have the Castlevania license, but yeah, we'll come up with a concept.
Yeah,
so he did a Kickstarter, and they reached their goal in one day, and then they overshot their goal by like $5 or $6 million.
Oh wow.
So all their stretch goals got met. So what it is basically a Castlevania style game in the Symphony of the Night. Another thing I need to establish, I guess, is that you have classic Nintendo Castlevania, which is action platformer based. So those are hard as nails, but fun Castlevania games where you're running around Belmont with a whip and whipping Dracula.
Yeah.
Then you have
so sexy.
It is sexy. What is a man? He's sexy. That's a Castlevania joke that probably nobody's going to get but me. And so you have. The classic Castlevania from the original Nintendo era.
Yeah.
And then when PlayStation came out, there was Symphony of the Night, which breathed new life into the Castlevania series because it wasn't about just these action platformer stuff. This was you were exploring the castle, and this game took a long time to beat. You could easily put in 40, 50 hours in this game.
Yeah.
And one of the big amazing things about it was even when you thought you were done – the castle flipped upside down. You had to go back through it.
Damn it. Every time you say Symphony of the Night, I gotta say this. Every time you say Symphony of the Night, it makes me think of Phantom of the Opera and Music of the Night. Softly, slowly, music will enchant you, or whatever.
I think
listen
Dracula.
To the music of the night. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't
Which
do...
Which is actually a really cool song. Sorry.
I can't do musicals because I did a gig... back when I was doing audio, I did theater audio once, and I was like, I'm never doing that again.
But that just seems like it'd be tough.
For me, it was a nightmare because I've never grown up in a family that liked musicals. My mom absolutely hates them.
Oh, wow.
And so they were never around in my family. And then when I saw certain things, I did go see like Rent on Broadway.
Oh, right? Okay.
And I was like, well, that was okay.
Everyone has AIDS. AIDS, yeah. AIDS.
You're going to die poor and with a very bad disease. Virus. My girlfriend at the time and I went and saw that, and you know, it was like, because how many times are you going to get to go to see a Broadway show?
Oh, yeah, right?
That was the big one at the time.
Well, I saw Beauty and the Beast. And I'll be honest, I love Beauty and the Beast, but I got to see the Broadway production of Beauty and the Beast, and I was like, holy crap, this is amazing.
Yeah, for some people, they're like, this is really cool, and I'm a tech guy, so it's like, it's really cool tech-wise.
Yeah.
But good grief, as an audience member, I hate musicals. And the particular show that I was doing was a combination of all the big songs from all of the big musical numbers.
Okay.
So Phantom of the Opera was definitely in there. And
yeah.
So I have PTSD from that show whenever I hear anything from Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah. So I brought up nightmares. Like, you're going to go home in cold sweats and be like, hold me, honey.
I'm going to put an ice pack on my head.
Right.
Where did we go with this?
I don't know. That's 2BT style as we go off the rails all the blasting time. It's my fault.
Well, I wanted to get to this because I have a bag of treats for you.
Yeah. I didn't even bother looking what was in it. I took it from you a minute ago, and I just was like, I'll bring it back here, and I'll set it down.
First things first, because I think we talked about this on air.
Yeah, the beeswax.
Beeswax, half a bag of beeswax. I didn't have a thing to partition it out.
That's fine.
So if you got, like, a baggie or something.
Yeah, no, it's all good.
But you can open it up, take a look at a beeswax bead if you want to.
Jeez, I'll just rub it all over my lip.
Hey, some people do with it.
Right. No, I mean, that's what I use all the time, is that Burt's. Oh, wow, it's little pellets.
Yeah, they're little pellets.
That's pretty neat.
I use it, I when I make stuff with it, I do the double pot thing where you have one pot with water and you put that.
Boiler.
Double boiler, yeah, like you do with chocolate.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you, senor.
Now these,
are you not making your own beard balm stuff anymore?
Well, I do, but it lasts so long that I don't.
Yeah.
I don't use a lot of it. I don't need to. I tried to have the big captain's beard. I had it for a while, and then I got the parents cutting my hair conversation with my wife, like, when are you going to cut that beard? When are you going to cut that beard?
Yeah.
When I went into the corporate world and the beard went down,
yeah,
I've sort of maintained this.
See, I can't stand mine to get all big and fuzzy on the sides. So no, I just trimmed mine up the other day, and if I don't, then I'll use the beard wax, the beard balm, whatever you want to call it, to, like, kind of keep it down, because if I don't, like, it just, I mean, I've already got a wide face as it is, but then whenever that happens, it's just like, blah.
Yeah, I have a flippy outy piece down at my chin on the right side of my face, and I have to trim that up and get that in. So it's actually, that side of my hair is actually shorter than this side, but because it's so, sticks out so much, I have to just trim it out.
Yeah.
So the next thing, this is something I'm giving you. I bought a bunch of these. In Japan, they have gumball machine like culture is a thing
there. Yeah, okay.
So that's what this is. That is a...
Is this like a Gigapet?
No, that is like a video game system.
Oh, whoa. That's crazy.
So inside of it... Now, I'm it's your regular...
Get the plastic rattling for the listening audience.
We can't hear you.
Yeah, right? Jesus, that's the hardest plastic I've ever opened before.
Yeah, it's a bit difficult. And they're not expensive.
Yeah. Plays a little tune even.
And I'll show you how to use it, but there's actual multiple games on there. So there's dots.
Yeah.
There's like little they're pixels, and it's pretty much like a Tiger LCD game, but there's a couple of different games in there.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So if you press sides and up and down, you change the levels of the game. But if you want to change the different games, you hit the rotate button.
Okay.
And one of those games that's in there is a Tetris knockoff.
Really?
Yeah, which is why I got it. But there's like a race car game. There's like a space shooter.
That's awesome.
Your imagination has to be used. It's like an Atari. But I bought a bunch of those, and I thought, well, I'll just give these out to my friends as I go.
Heck yeah, dude. Thank you. That's freaking cool, man.
They're neat. I mean, you're going to get about 3 minutes of entertainment out of it.
Yeah.
But that's really all you need, man.
I was about to say, dude, like, that's still pretty daggum cool.
The screen's not bad on it either.
Yeah, no kidding. Like, this is a lot better than the old Game Boy screen.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, I can actually see this without having to, like I got to hold it just perfectly.
No, yeah, it's sort of strange.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, it's not like it was an expensive thing, but that's a thing that when you go to Japan, you can go to these gumball machines, and varying prices,
yeah,
you get different things. So that's probably like a $5 toy.
That's really cool, man. Thank you. That's awesome.
Now, these are loners, but we talked about this.
Oh, heck
I found it.
Awesome. The Dragon's Lair DVD. Is this the game?
That's Dragon's Lair 2.
Heck yeah.
So I don't have the first one. I need to go look for that one.
How dare you not have the first one? I can't believe, right? You're not a true fan of Dragon's Lair, then, if you don't have the
Apparently
first
not.
One.
Like, I don't like Daphne enough. There's actually a couple of games, so I need to get the first Dragon's Lair game. But there's also a Dungeons & Dragons game that I've been meaning to pick up.
Really?
And
was it based on an old school TV show?
No.
Okay, because I wasn't sure.
That'd be really cool.
Right? Yeah.
Cool. Now, it's not like these where it's a timed action. What it is, it's more of like a choose-your-own-adventure
book. Oh, okay, yeah.
So you have a party, you have like a knight, there's a chick, there's a wizard guy, I think, and you go and make decisions throughout the game.
Yeah.
And so each chapter, like I said, it's a choose-your-own-adventure. So whatever you do, you pick throughout the game, and there's a bunch of different endings to it. So you can beat it and hopefully have like all your party, or you beat it and you have like a couple of your members, or you don't beat it.
Yeah.
There's like several different bad endings.
Oh, wow.
But depending on the things that you choose to do through the game, and some of them are just really innocuous. Like you had no idea that that would affect your gameplay later on.
Yeah.
But I need to find that. I rented that a long, long time ago.
I had no idea that they had a Dungeons & Dragons DVD game.
It's not good. It's, and there's a reason why you haven't heard of it.
Yeah.
But it is out there, and it is, to me, it's interesting because this was an experiment on, oh, well, let's make things interactive. Let's have an interactive DVD that you could go and do things with.
Yeah. I like that this still has the Hastings sticker on it.
Dude, I'm not losing the Hastings sticker. I think that's when Hastings was losing out. And this is another loner, which I'm going to highly, highly, highly recommend.
Oh, cool.
I don't have the actual box for it.
No, that's fine. But, Star Wars Republic Commando. So is this Xbox 360 or?
It's 360 compatible. That was, okay. That came out. That was an Xbox exclusive back with, we got to say the original Xbox because it's not the Xbox One anymore. But when the original Xbox came out, there was a few exclusive games that were really good for the system. One was Chronicles of Riddick, Escape from Butcher Bay, which is,
oh wow,
dude, that game still looks amazing.
Oh wow, like yeah, I didn't know that they made a Chronicles of Riddick game. I always enjoyed the movies. I ain't gonna lie. Like
when the second movie came out, they tied a lot of this stuff in.
Yeah,
and Escape from Butcher Bay, because they mentioned Butcher Bay in the movies.
Oh, okay.
And this gives you his like background on how he got the eye shine. Like he starts off like a normal dude.
Oh, okay, yeah.
He'll get the eyes later on. It's really kind of a cool game, and it looks amazing. Like the graphics still hold up today. The other big one for me was, and especially this one, was Star Wars Republic Commando. This came out about the time that Episode 2 hit DVD.
Yeah.
And so everybody was sort of right off of Episode 2, yeah, into Episode 3. Actually, it was closer to when Episode 3 was going to come out, because I think this came out about a week before Episode 3 hit theaters.
Yeah.
And it gave you the background on the troopers, and what this game does that I've not really had any other Star Wars game really do for me is it takes the droid army.
Okay, yeah, the
that faction, I can't remember their name.
It's like Confederation. Yeah, the Confederation.
It puts the fear of God in you because they don't establish that in the movies. You're watching Jedi just mow down these things.
Yeah,
goofy and whatnot. This game puts the fear of God in you for these things and really gets you the idea of the planets that are being suppressed by the droid army.
Oh, okay.
What that feels like.
Yeah.
And so there's a couple things with that because I played it on my 360 just to double check and make sure it works. There's a button compatibility thing that's a little weird because on the original Xbox controller, there's a white and black button.
Oh, yeah.
Those have been, I think, reissued to the bumpers.
Okay.
And the other thing is if you got a TV that can go into 4:3 aspect ratio, do it that way if you can.
All right. Because it stretches
the image out and it just looks like crap.
Okay.
But the graphics on that are amazing, too. And
yeah.
The storyline is good. And it's one of those games where you finish it and you're like, oh, I finished it. Cool.
Yeah. But it flips upside down and you have to go back.
No. But you're like, it's very short. It's only like 5 hours, 5 or 6 hours.
Yeah.
Like if you're an FPS guy, you'll get through it pretty quickly. And what I like about it is that you're giving your teammates orders too.
Oh, cool.
So if you're really good, you can probably go through it by yourself.
Yeah.
But you really want to get used to making your team members do stuff. There's some things that they're going to make you do.
Yeah.
But when you get to learning the commands and getting to just one of my tips is learn to hold your team back.
Yeah.
Because they'll just go on a killing spree and end up getting themselves killed.
Yeah.
So you want to make sure you can like rein your team back.
See, I'm trying to remember there was a game like that. It was on PS3, but it's like a World War II game. And I can't think of the name of it for the life of me. But you had like the whole squad control type thing. And you had to like actually like look at the battlefield and try to do like a technical thing of like, okay, well, I'm going to send these guys over here to like flank. And
Rainbow Six did a lot of that.
Yeah.
So Rainbow Six would give you like a blueprint of a house and you would plan out your team's paths.
Okay.
This is more visceral. This is not about planning out your stuff. This is about keeping your team alive.
Okay.
So I really like the controls in this game as far as controlling your teammates. You're telling them quickly to go here, go there, come back. take up a sniper position here.
Yeah.
And then you go run through your path, and then you call them back up to you. It's really cool because everything, this is what I would think. I have no military mind.
Yeah.
This is what I imagine like a military operation would be. Okay, guys, go over there and capture that tower. Okay. Yeah. We got the tower. Everybody's there. We got something else for you to do. It's always like one thing after the other. It's never just like do your thing and then rest up. You got another thing to do, and then you got another thing you got to do, and then they find something else for you to do. So that's how that gameplay is.
Okay.
But it's really cool. The graphics, again, I mean, they're dated. Obviously, they're dated.
Well, yeah.
But really look good considering the time frame.
Yeah, well, I know this is one of those games that everybody keeps going like, why haven't they made another one of these?
You know? You're going to find out once you play it.
Okay. Yeah.
That's, I mean, I don't really push stuff on people sometimes. I'm like, you have to do this.
You gotta try this. Yeah.
That's a game you have to play. There's...
Cool. Yeah,
no, dude. No Star Wars fan should ever not have played that game.
Yeah, I need to... Now I just gotta hook up my 360 at some point in time. And all I gotta do is I need to get a
HDMI?
Well, I've got an HDMI. I just need a splitter or something like that to where I can plug two HDMIs in one port.
Oh,
so.
Monoprice has got them for super.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's just the whole thing of like actually going and buying it at some point in time instead of just saying like, I need to get one of those.
I bought one. I think it cost me like $20.
Yeah.
And what's nice is that whatever device you turn on, it just auto switches to that device.
Oh, that's cool. You got it through Monoprice?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like Monoprice. Most of this stuff. Here on the table is Monoprice.
I got a Monoprice splitter coming in because I got that Trinitron television.
Yeah.
That's why my shoulder's all jacked up. That's why I had to go to the chiropractor.
Dude, it's amazing how much those TVs weigh.
Yeah, because I have a Memorex, like tube television.
Yeah.
And
but those Trinitrons were even heavier, man.
Yeah, that's something that they – whoever sold it. Because I got it super cheap, because with retro gamers, we keep an eye out for those types of televisions. People know we're keeping an eye out for them, and so they'll try to sell them for $80 or $100.
Yeah.
Which is fine. I get it. I found mine. Mine's an old school 80s Trinitron, which is awesome.
Yeah.
It has no S-video. So I've had to, like, take down some of my S-video connections, which is fine.
Yeah.
But the graphics look good, and the big thing with it is it sounds amazing.
Oh, yeah.
So this television, I've shown pictures of it. The remote is ridiculous. it's about the size of an iPad mini. It takes two hands to hold it while you're, like, typing in your commands.
What color is the display on it? Does it have a display
on
it?
Well, that's not a display. I thought the same thing. First thing I saw it, I was like, well, that's a display, but I didn't get to take a closer look at it. What that is a lid that flips up, and then you have control over a VCR. It's a multi-remote.
I should have known that, man. I've had a remote like that before. Like, I want to say, actually, it was a Sony that was like that, except for it wasn't the big wide thing. It was, like, the long, skinny, or, like,
yeah, the long skinny ones I've seen, but I've not seen one. This one actually looks like an old school calculator that you'd used to see with like either red or green numbers.
Yeah,
you had to plug into a wall to actually operate.
Exactly.
That's what this thing looks like.
It would take too much power for a freaking solar panel.
I wonder if it just drains batteries like crazy.
Texas Instruments.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, oh no, that TV is so cool. So I was testing it out on some Nintendo and Super Nintendo stuff, and I was like, okay, this is cool. I like this.
Yeah.
It was heavy as hell, and I had to take off the other, because I had two TVs on that stand.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
It's just the Trinitron off. Now.
Yeah, as I say,
it takes up the entire.
Were you worried
space.
About the weight limit?
I was a little bit. I was, because the other thing with Trinitrons, again, I didn't know until I started moving it, because I dented the bezel a little bit because I was trying to load it into my car by myself because the dude who was selling it was like, I have a bad back.
Yeah, that's called
that's called you're moving a Trinitron. You get a friend there, buddy.
Right? Yeah,
you get a dolly. Where was I going? Oh, so the sound. And this is something I didn't know with Trinitrons is that, well, there's so many things cool about it that I didn't even know. This is why gamers grab these for whatever reason. One is that the controls for like tint and brightness and contrast and color, they're knobs.
Oh, yeah.
So you get it in real time. It's not going into a menu.
Going down
to like the tint and then going up and down on the remote, whether it's your volume or your channel
change,
then hitting the wrong one and getting out of that altogether.
Yeah.
just to go like reroute yourself back there because it takes 20 minutes to just change the color to something that's supposed to be correct.
Yeah.
No, they're knobs. You just twist the knob and you look and at you it leave and go, it there. The screen's a little yellow. I think I'll turn it back. Okay. It's right. White now. Good. So that was really cool. It's got, of course, it's got the built-in speakers. Oh, yeah. I was going to say it's front heavy. So that's what concerns me about it because it is front heavy. And then those shelves that I got are, they say that it like leaks to lean forward.
Oh, okay.
So when I assembled it together, I cranked the feet are adjustable. So I made those a bit longer. So it leaned back a little bit.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Because you're supposed to anchor it to a wall. I live in an apartment. That's not going to happen.
Yeah. Well, you can get some of those little wall anchors, those Molly screws, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah. It came with one, but, my thing is that, I still need to get back behind it,
so I
can't have it flush against the wall because then I can't get to the cables.
Yeah.
So I got to be – but when I originally assembled it, I lifted those feet higher than the back one, so it would purposely like lean back a little bit. So it does, it seems pretty solid.
Yeah.
But it does shake when I hit like turn on. The whole thing's like, this thing's really heavy.
Yeah.
You know that, right?
It's like, why are you doing this to me?
Yeah.
You butthole.
Yeah, my car was like that, too. I was like that when I was picking it up.
Your car was like, this is a TV?
Yeah.
I don't remember these things being that heavy.
I wasn't born when these TVs were out.
Oh, hey.
But it is, it the picture does look good, even though it's using composite video, not using the S video. It still looks really good, really clean. And the music out of everything, I mean, I love Nintendo chiptunes,
so
I'm always going to favor Nintendo as far as music. But Super Nintendo's got some decent tracks on some things. And I've had this game for like a month and I haven't played it yet. I bought X-Men for the Super Nintendo, and I finally popped it in and played it. And I was like, yeah, that bass is really kicking. That's something that Super Nintendo doesn't do.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, this has got good stuff. But then I finally hooked up the Dreamcast and got Capcom versus Street Fighter, or Capcom versus Marvel 2.
Oh, okay.
In it.
And see, I didn't know they did those way back then.
Oh, yeah. Those were back out in the 90s.
Oh, okay.
And then I was like, I get it now, because it's arcade perfect.
Yeah.
The sound is just there, and you're getting, like, when anything that's going across the spectrum from left to right, you hear it. And it's just really cool. And that was the first, I was like, oh, okay, now I understand. So it was worth the pain that I'm not going to be able to use my shoulder for like the next 2 weeks.
That's all right. If you sit at a desk, you'll be good. As long as they don't ask you to like move a computer around or something like that, be like, we need you to.
All our computers are on boom arms, so you can just take a finger and.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's. Man, you get into tech support, everything's like, oh, well, you use your mind. You don't use your body.
So is it those that you can like lift it up and you can stand up and work?
I have a boss that has one of those. I'm like, screw you, man. I'm not going to go stand up for 8 hours.
Yeah.
Go up and down. I'm not at church, so I'm not doing that.
Well, see, my thing is like, I can only sit down for so long before my knees start hurting. Like, oh my. Yeah. Like a lot of times I'll be out, like, you know, I'm a tall dude. So me trying to go to the bathroom on an airplane is
well, that's funny already.
Yeah, it's like an act of contortion. So, but like trying to like walk down the center aisle without hitting my head on the ceiling or the little exit lights and stuff like that is another thing. But then like walking down there just to go to the bathroom in the middle of the flat, but I will always get up and go to the bathroom in the middle of a flat just so that way I can get up and stretch my legs just for a little bit, because I can't. I have so much trouble. Like, even like, well, thank God now movie theaters have got like the big wide, like, areas where you can stretch out your feet and stuff. And even before they did the recliners, you know, even with the stadium seating, that was a lot better than what they had back in the day. So, but like back in the day, like it still sucked just sitting there for like 2.5 hours, like trying to watch a movie and you can only move your feet like 6 inches either way. And it's just like,
oh yeah. Oh yeah. Well, we did on our way to Austin, we did stop at Interspace Caverns.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Have you been out there?
No, I haven't. I'm super claustrophobic.
You're not going to like it. I mean, there's wide cave areas that you'd be fine in.
Yeah.
Being as your height is one of those things.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, for you, ducking.
Yeah.
They had some low hanging ceilings. They're like, okay, guys, you got to be careful through here. And of course, I'm 5'8". I'm technically considered short.
Yeah.
In the U.S.
I always just call that average, like 5'8", 5'9".
5'9" is average, 5'8", you know, after 5'9", you're in the short realm.
So you're almost midget realm.
I'm technically, yeah, technically I'm a short dude.
I'm sorry, little person realm.
Little person, yeah. I didn't mean to say it. Right.
Yeah. Exactly. It's that laser focus, man.
Yeah, laser focus.
Oh, heck. So anyways, Interspace Caverns got a lot of ducking in it. Yeah,
and they have we took the tourist tour, which is it's about, you know, maybe an hour.
Yeah.
They walk you through the cave. You know, you get to see some cool stuff. But then they're like, oh, and by the way, if you see these colored lights, and they have like a blue and pink light or blue and purple. I'm colorblind. I can't tell.
Yeah.
But they're these two lights that shine into a certain direction. They're like, well, if you want to take the more advanced tour, you can go and do that. And I'm like, there's a part of my brain. I'm still at that age where I'm like, I could probably do that.
Right. Yeah.
But then by the time I got done with that tour, I was like, nah, I'm not going to do that.
I'm too old for this crap.
Yeah, and so what?
Like Lethal Weapon. I'm too old.
I'm too old for this. I'm too fat. I'm too old.
Right.
So we go on the tour. It's not super huge. You go in. It's kind of neat. I've been to better. I've been to worse. That's the way I'll say it.
Yeah.
But they say it that, but they're like, well, we have this more advanced tour, and you have to wear long sleeves and long pants, and we'll give you boots and shoulder pads or knee pads and elbow pads. Holy
no.
And gloves and helmet. Because
that means that you're crawling at some point in time. No.
It's a four-hour tour of the caves in special areas.
Yeah.
Special areas.
No, I'm out. I'm totally out.
With no lights.
Yeah.
And here's the other additional thing to it.
That's like
caves.
Death Dark.
They do that.
Yeah.
They explain what total darkness is in the last cave or in the last big cavern that you're in. They're like, okay, everybody turn off your cell phones, make sure everything's off, put stuff in your pockets, stand still. They cut the lights.
Yeah.
And they're like, what you're experiencing is what's called total darkness. It goes, wave your hand in front of your face. You can't see it because this is the only thing that you can experience. You can only experience it in a cave. Obviously, if you're in a house with no windows, you could probably get kind of close to it.
Yeah.
But this is, you know, you're underground however many thousands of feet.
I mean, my like the damn lights wouldn't turn back on, so I would be screwed. I'd be like, how do we get out of here?
So they, for about, you know, a minute, they let you experience total darkness.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I could get used to this. Now, one of the cool things we did see
Somebody's in there farting.
Well, there's so much texture on the walls, you wouldn't hear it anyway. Right. We did get to see a cave scorpion, though, which was super awesome.
Whoa.
So
it sounds brutal.
It is.
Yeah.
So they have various openings. The way they discovered those caves is that they were drilling for I-35.
Awesome.
We were just like, well, it's Texas, it figures.
Yeah.
So occasionally
there's always construction.
So it might as well have been I-35 that they were trying to build. So occasionally in a couple of the rooms in the cave, you'll see with light shining in, you'll see probably, I would say maybe an 18-inch in diameter hole.
Oh, wow.
It would have been burrowed in from the surface into those caves. That's how they accidentally discovered them.
Yeah.
They lost a drill bit. They lost a drill bit. And you're looking through that hole and you're like, well, that's a decent sized hole, but you wouldn't want to fit anybody through it. Well, that's exactly how they found out. They lost a drill bit. Drill bits were expensive, so they lured a dude in there to get the drill bit.
I got a joke I can say for that, and I'm not going to. Anyways, they lowered a dude down to find the drill bit, and he was like, holy crap, this is a giant cavern in here.
But again, you have total darkness. The only light that you got is coming from the hole that you were lowered in on.
It's not in here. Take me back up.
Screw you guys.
Right.
You're the skinniest one of us all, Joe. Going in.
Yeah.
But so the cave scorpion, so bugs and whatnot fall into that cave.
Well, yeah.
And you get frogs and stuff like that.
It's got to have June bugs down there, I guarantee
probably.
It.
Well, yeah. With the lights being upwards, I don't think it's a problem with June bugs, but anything that goes down there that's been breeding for a long time just turns white.
Oh, cool.
So there was – he shone the flashlight on it, and I'm glad nobody put their hand on this rock. Well, you're not allowed to touch anything.
Oh, okay.
This goes – I got I got to tie everything in here together. So with so there's rock formations. You don't want to touch them because the oil's on your hands going to prevent the water from depositing any kind of deposits it picks up on the way down.
Yeah.
They have one area that you're allowed to touch called Temptation Rock because people have been touching. That goes into the, when you go on this 4-hour tour, you have to wear long sleeve shirts and pants and they provide you with the boots and everything else because you're not allowed to actually touch any of the formations because you're going to ruin the thousands of years of development.
Yeah.
Which is another reason why would you do that? Because you know what that means? That means your sweatshirt that you're wearing is going to be wet and your pants are going to be wet and you're crawling around in wet.
Yeah. And it's probably going to be hot, too, is what I'm assuming.
Well, yeah, the caves got hot, which is something I've never experienced in caverns before because caverns that I've been to have been deeper down.
Yeah.
And so those have a nice, cool 60 – that's all.
Yeah.
You're like in 60-degree temperature the entire time. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Don't need air conditioning. You just hang out. It's the best. This place is not that far from the surface. It's hot.
Yeah.
And it's nasty. And there's no way I'm going to be crawling around in hot, nasty caves.
Yeah.
Soaked.
Yeah.
For 4 hours.
Because it's going to be water and then sweat on top of that.
And then okay, I'm old enough now where I got to take a pee break at least every hour.
Yeah. That's because you're well hydrated.
It's well hydrated and it's just so what do you do? You can't pull a Goonies.
Yeah. You just see that sled. Hey, what's that over there? Is there telling you turn around real quick, take a pee?
Look at that bat.
Is that another cave scorpion?
Yeah. Don't pee on the cave scorpion.
Totally should try to take one home.
You see all these white scorpions and one's yellow, and you're just like, oh, poor little guy.
Damn you, Frank Zappa. Oh, heck, man. But I think that's going to wrap it up for us, man.
I felt like I talked about my vacation.
That's all right, man. I enjoyed it. If they didn't enjoy it, then they can hit stop a long time ago.
Yeah. The other thing is, before we cut it out completely, you and I are going to Free Play Arcade. We're part of the beta test.
Yeah, we are. It's going to be freaking awesome.
I got to send you that email link.
Yeah.
It's a QR code.
Okay.
That pops up. And I don't remember the specific date, but I can find it
before. Next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday. 5 to 11.
Yeah, from 5 to 11. I figure I'll go for a few hours. I won't stay till 11.
Yeah, I get off of work at 4:30. I'm gonna, probably go home, change clothes.
Yeah.
Get back. Get over there. Probably pay for maybe 2 or 3 hours and head home, dude.
Yeah.
I can't be out till 11.
No, it's kind of the same here. So, but yeah, dude, I'm actually pretty blasted stoked about that. That's the reason why whenever you told me that those were up, I was like, hell yeah, I want to go.
They were sold out of level. They had the first tier that got sold out, so we're part of the second tier.
Yeah.
I saw that in the post and I was like, okay, I got to hop on this. And I got worried for a second when I was texting you because I went back and they're like, this got sold out. I accidentally flipped back up on the page and said the first one was sold out. So I got the second group tickets and I was like, okay, we got to go. And then I checked it today and it's all completely sold.
Yeah, I saw them because I never saw a post about the beta testing, the selling the tickets or anything like that because I follow the Free Play Arcade page and then the Free Play Arcade Denton page.
Yeah.
And I never saw anything about them posting the beta test or anything.
Yeah, I didn't see the first tier beta test. And then, but I saw that they were like, oh, the first tier beta test has been sold out. What does that mean? Because I wanted to get in on, let's get in early.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to do that.
Yeah.
So I saw that there were some others, and so I had to get tickets.
Oh, heck yeah, dude. That's a must, basically. Yeah. And for those people, just so you know, if you're not familiar with what Free Play is, it's a bar where you go, you pay $10 to get in, and all the machines are set on Free Play.
Ours are five.
What's it now?
The Denton one's five.
Oh, so it's going to be five?
It's $5, yeah. So there's
I thought it might go up after the beta testing.
No, it's going to be $5 for Free Play. So what it is, you go and you get your beer, whatever you want, but it's a $5 cover. That $5 cover covers all your arcade play.
Awesome.
So all the machines are set to Free Play. You just hit the player one, player two button, and you're going.
Dude, that's amazing.
Yeah.
That's going to be so awesome.
That's the model that a lot of these – that's why I was so shocked that pinballs didn't have that.
Yeah. Kind
of aspect to it. Sell your beer.
Yeah.
and charge a, you know, $5-$10 cover and have people come in, because there's pinball enthusiasts that go out to pinballs.
Oh yeah,
so it's one of the biggest pinball arcades that's in the U.S.
Well, I think just up in Chicago, just earlier this year, they had like a giant pinball convention type thing. I don't know if they do one in Dallas also, but
yeah, there's a couple of, like, I think there's the Midwest pinball group, and they do that. They'll get together and do like a pinball like convention,
yeah,
essentially. And there are a couple of straight pinball arcades. Free Play is about to open one if they haven't done it already.
Okay.
But there's one in Austin, and that's what Pinballs is. They have some other stuff, but their big draw is that you're going to go and play pinball.
Yeah.
Which I think is amazing, because pinball machines are sort of this anomaly of human architecture to me.
Oh, God,
just,
yeah.
Engineering is just amazing, and then we do it for entertainment.
Yeah.
Just banging a little metal ball bearing around. I find it fascinating. I'm not a pinball connoisseur. I know there's tables that I like. I've played some old school 50s and 40s like pinball machines in Vegas and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I've been to the video game history museum. No, the pinball history museum in Vegas.
Oh wow.
And that was amazing.
Yeah.
And that's just a warehouse full of pinball.
Those machines date back for ages, man. I want to say they even had like some pinball machines, like what, back in like the 30s and 40s and stuff.
Yeah, I want to say they like you're getting some variation of it back in like the 20s.
Yeah.
And then pinball, of course, pinball, like anything entertainment related, had some sort of
revolution.
Where the government had to step in and be like, well, this is
too many kids are playing this.
It's gambling. It's gambling.
Oh,
and they're like,
yeah.
No, it's not gambling. It's not a game of chance. It's entertainment.
Yeah.
So they had to make some changes and some adapt the rules a little bit for pinball.
I think that was on an episode of MASH one time where they like where I can't remember, somebody was going broke or whatever, and this way they were going to make up the money because he wasn't at home to help his wife out. I think it's BJ Honeycutt, and he was like gambling on pinball with people and stuff like that. And so he was,
yeah, there was gambling about who could get like high scores and
yeah,
who could, you know, and pinball is such an amazing game of skill. I've never completed a full run on any pinball game ever, but I love pinball.
Oh yeah, it's fun. And I always got amazed with how many points that you'll get on like a pinball machine compared to what you get on a video game. Like the pinball, like, it's not uncommon to end a pinball game with like 2 million points or something like that.
Yeah. And I mean, for the people who don't know about pinball, you have specific courses that you're supposed to take. So you're supposed to get the ball into a certain area of the pinball machine, and then you get multipliers.
Yeah.
And some machines go insane with like 9-10 times multipliers. So that's where you're getting your high scores from. But there's certain railways that are lit up that you're supposed to take. And that's the goal of pinball, is to go and take these in a particular order that they set up for you. Or you may trigger,
okay,
or you may trigger a scenario where you have a certain place that you're supposed to go to.
Yeah.
In a certain amount of time. That's why I've never like completed a full run on pinball, on any pinball machine, just because you trigger some event. You're supposed to get the pinball up into the spot, but you don't get there in time.
Yeah.
So you have to go and do those events again to trigger that event again to get the pinball there. So it's
maddening.
Really, yeah, dude.
Yeah, it's very maddening.
But, oh, it's so much fun.
Oh, God, yeah. All right. With all that being said, if you guys want to come by and check us out, you can go by Retro Reprise and check out Adam. He streams live every Friday night at midnight, right?
Friday night at midnight. You can go to youtube.com/RetroReprise, or the better stream, honestly, is twitch.tv/RetroReprise.
Awesome.
I don't have a whole lot of Twitch viewers, so if you like the live stream stuff, then check it out on Twitch. I also do it on YouTube, and I re-release the full broadcast on Mondays.
Oh, okay.
So if you missed it on Friday night at midnight, you can catch it Monday, and then I chop the show up so you can get different categories. I just got a new co-host. His name's Bill Benton. He's out of the Des Moines area.
Oh, cool.
And he's a collector, too. He collects in a different version than what I do, so
yeah,
it's a little bit more widespread. It's a bit more entertaining to watch than me just jabbering on. So, but yeah, youtube.com/RetroReprise or twitch.tv/RetroReprise.
Email?
Well,
or do you not do the email?
I don't do the email, but you can hit me up at retroreprisal@gmail.com.
Okay, cool. And same thing for Twitter is at retroreprise.
Everything's retroreprise. If you're going to find retroreprise, it's whatever site.com/retroreprise. I've done my branding.
Yeah. And with us, you can follow us on Twitter. That's at @2BTShow. And that's at 2BTShow. Same thing for email. If you want to email us, it's the2BTShow@gmail.com. the2BTShow@gmail.com. With that being said, I'm David.
I'm Adam.
2BT, signing out.
Adios.
Vaya con Dios.
I don't say goodbye. I say may the force be with you.
Awesome. Later, guys.
Ah! Oh,
geez. Oh, heck yeah. Bad. I'll just rub it all over my lips.
Use your mind. You don't use your body. Where did we go with this?
I don't know. But... Exactly. That's 2BT style as we go off the rails all the blasting time.
I don't know if I should say that.
Nope.
Online.
Nope. Yeah, you know.
It's going to get me in trouble.
Yeah, right. These views are not shared by the TVT.
Good Lord. What? What made me this way? It is hot. It is hot.
So hot.
Kind of like me. It is hot.
Yeah, I like fish sticks. I like putting fish sticks in my mouth.
What?
Fish sticks.
Good God. Oh. Something went wrong somewhere or something went right somewhere.
Right.
There's a naked chicken there.
Oh, yeah. Well,
they did. I used to love her. Yeah. But I had to kill her. I used to love her. Oh, yeah, but I had to kill her.
Hey, I mean, well, I love you in all sense of the word, all of y'all. But that's, man, whatever. I'm the jerk that wrote a million word prequel to the real story.
I like.
I don't read too well.
I don't know my words. I just like looking at the funny ones.
Do you know your words? I don't know mine. You
really get that whole alphabet thing confused. Right. Oh,
just do like I do. Give up. Just give up on everything. I don't care. The environment's dying. I don't care. Just give up.
Oh, my.
This is fun for anybody listening to this. Oh, my God.
You gotta play to win, man.
I wanna make love to you, woman. I wanna lay you down by the fire. Caress your womanly body. Make your bone and perspire.
Yeah. Water rum, sick of rum. I can either A, clinch it, and hope that my body just reabsorbs it. Maybe it'll turn into a burp.
Burp, burp, burp.
Are you ready for your vasectomy?
Mike, edit this out.
Yeah. I want to be captain of the committee that makes sure you guys don't F this up.
I swear to God, dude, it came out with a vengeance, too. I don't know. it's glorious. Yeah. Santa Claus is real.
Oh, well, look, he's not that bad of a dude.
Straight to the fart noises. There's only one day.
He's a little guy, red hair, that he likes to sing and play his lute.
don't know, maybe it's my upbringing or something.
I don't know, like, it's just fun. I'm texting, be like, oh, well, you know, my feet are better than your feet.
Man. You're an old man and pretty much done.
There you go.
Yeah. Dude, everything's better with reverb.
Oh, yeah. Excellent.
Giant lump of wet dough. Yeah.
Where are you from when I was like, Texas?
Oh, whoa. How dare you say that to little Timothy?
Yeah.
This, by the way, spoilers.
Hey. I guess it's the Texas thing.
I love my family.
Excellent.
Oh, you want to be a tough guy? I'll be a tough, show what tough is. And
Go home.
Dude, you mind if I sit over here? And he's like, dude, knock yourself out, man. Oh, it must be a Texas thing. Don't do that, by the way.
I'm having a brain freeze. Oh, no. And I'm like,
Ujaba, the heebie-jeebies. Face down in a gutter. Don't want to admit defeat, though.
Well, this is not good.
Like, dude, I love it. I love it all.
Whoa, dude. Oh, my God.
Star Wars guys are crazy.
My butt has a cannon.
If you're going to go out, that's the way to do it.
I dig it. It belongs in a museum. Oh, dude, hurry up and get here. Yeah.
Man in black fled across the desert, and the gunslinger followed.
The Last Jedi, Run DMC,
Han, Luke, and Leia,
R2 and 3PO,
Rey, Finn,
Yoda, Kenobi,
Poe.
Do or do not, there is no try.
Chewbacca has to die.
The Palpatine.
Betray you.
Chewbacca, you know, R.A. Salvatore.
This is a good guy, this is a bad guy. This is a good guy, this is a bad guy.
Go.
Dang it.
Yeah. But, like, crap, I'm just, like, stuttering and rambling there. Beans, a wonderful fruit. The more you eat, the more you toot. The more you toot, the better you feel, so eat beans with every meal. I have a belief that if the more you fart, the longer you'll live.
No! You don't stop playing because you get old.
Yeah.
You get old because you stop playing.
That wasn't terrible.
That was pathetic. Boo.
Nerdy Legion.
Nerdylegion.com.